I listen with my mom all the time.
Because it's fun.
I love it.
This is UK Talk Radio with the music you love and the chat you enjoy.
I listen with my mom all the time.
Because it's fun.
I love it.
Hello, you're listening to me, Lorna Child, on UK Talk Radio. And today I'm joined with John Goodwin, who's here to talk about the re-release of one of the best science fiction novels ever written, Battlefield Earth.
John Goodwin, it's so nice to speak to you today. I'm very excited, I must admit. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's so nice to be able to meet you and speak with you, Lorna.
Thank you. So you're re-releasing one of the biggest science fiction books ever written, Battlefield Earth. So tell us all about it. What's going on?
Well, Battlefield Earth was originally written and published. It was written in 1980 and published in 1982. It was written by L. Ron Hubbard. And it has become one of the best-selling science fiction novels of all time. It's well over 4 million copies sold. And at the time he wrote it, it was the longest science fiction novel ever written at 428,000 words. And plus the intro on top of it, which gives a history of science fiction and fantasy, makes it closer to 450,000 words. And it's what's amazing about it is that L. Ron Hubbard was one of the constructors of what now is known as the golden age of science fiction. A lot of the pulp stories that were written in the 30s and 40s, he was part of that. And you had astounding science fiction in the 40s and 50s, which you had the US edition, but you also had the UK edition. So there are different size, different formats of the magazine in UK. And he was always in a lot of those astounding science fiction books. The significance of that is that it was that type of escapist literature that was written then that people really enjoyed. And when he came out with Battlefield Earth in 1980, it was that same type of excitement and enthusiasm. And you get like almost hyperventilating because the action scenes are so constant and so furious with all things happening. So the basic premise is that we sent the Voyager space, you know, probes out in the 70s, and several years later in the early 2000s, the probes were captured by an outside probe that was checking our section of the galaxy. And it has a map on the Voyager, which has on gold, which has a map to our solar system and to our planet. And so that was sold to the Intergalactic Mining Company, and they sent a gas drone to wipe out planet and sent in people to start mining it. So now the story starts 1,000 years in the future. And so it's basically our attempt, humanity's attempt, last attempt to be able to take back the planet. There's only a few thousand humans surviving, and they're hidden off in areas, which turns out the significance of where they're hiding is where they're surrounded by uranium, which is antipathetic to these aliens. It blows up their air that they breathe, so they can't be in those areas. And so basically it's a matter of what's really great about it is that there's a lot of action, there's a lot of integrity, you know, which people really get into having that. And it's also by education this group of last group of humans that's led by becomes to be the hero of the story, Johnny Goodboy Tyler. It leads them to eventual survival. And he originally breaks into a library that's been all covered up by these by one of these races just to preserve, you know, other histories. So he breaks in there and starts learning about the alphabet. And so he learns how to read. And he starts gaining understanding of what's going on through education, through literacy, which I think is an important message, but it's because there's so much excitement in it that people really have enjoyed it. It's good for middle school on up because it's got high action, but there's not the just the sordid violence, and there's not the sex in there, which can kind of like be inappropriate for younger kids. But we've got military, we've got grandparents, we've got all kinds of people that just really enjoy it. And it's, like I said, having sold over 4 million copies, it's no wonder.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And of course, there are some huge stars that enjoyed the story as well.
Oh, for
sure. John Travolta.
Yes.
Fanny got sent a copy, didn't he?
Yes. There's a lot of great people and like a lot of musicians too, like Chick Corea, who passed away not that long ago. Multiple, I think it's over 20 Grammys he had won. But he was instrumental in creating the first, it's called Space Jazz. It's a music album that was based on the book, and that was Space Jazz was the first ever musical soundtrack to a book that was ever done.
Really?
Yeah. And there's 13 compositions written by Orrin Hubbard and based on different events from the book. And there was a brand new piece of equipment there called the CMI, Computer Musical Instrument, and manufactured by Fairlight. And up to that point, synthesized music had only been done like the Beatles did it in Sgt. Pepper Lonely Hearts Club Band with the Yapping Dogs and Honking Geese on the album. That was synthesized. But what Mr. Hubbard did was he actually preceded a whole new trend in synthesized music, creating sounds which hadn't been done before. And that's what this is really the super significance of this, other than the fact of being the first ever soundtrack to a book.
He sounds so intelligent, and he had such a busy life as well, traveling all over the place and meeting different people.
He loved England. He was all, like you said, he was all over the place. He was a world traveler even by the time he was 19, he traveled. And this is a time when there wasn't because he was born in 1911. So by 1930, he had already traveled to China twice. Mm. And so a lot of his stories that he published, his adventure stories, take place in China. And there was the China-Japanese War that was going on then. And one of his best friends that it turned out to be was the person in charge of British intelligence.
Wow.
And so he has a lot of great mystery stories too, but and that comes into play in the what he learned on that in Battlefield Earth, on setting up, how do you set up a system of communication on a planet where you're very much inferior to the races that are there trying to wipe you out.
Mm. Did he ever think that it would ever be made into a film? Obviously, he dreamt about it, but
he wanted it. He definitely wrote about that wanting to be done. And it's interesting, I did an interview last year. I've got a podcast, Writers and Illustrators of the Future podcast.
Oh.
And so I did an interview with Roger Christian, who's the director who made that movie. And he talked about how it was done. And it's funny that there's multiple viewpoints on the movie itself. And it's a thing that with, people that have read the book, and this is a problem you find with a lot of books that have been made to movies in Hollywood, is that they vary from it. They have, the writers come up with how they think it should be. And because it's at variance with the book, and if it's a beloved book like Battlefield Earth is, then the super fans will voice their opinion.
Yeah.
And so there are definitely opinions voiced. It's like the first movie of Dune. There was a lot of people that were like, this is not the book, So that's what you had also Battlefield Earth. But now that it's like, been, it came out in 2000, the movie. And so now over two decades later, I see on social media, it's about a third to half the people now are commenting, I actually like the movie, where they weren't familiar with the book beforehand. So it's one of those things, like to try to make an epic book. This is, the book itself is, when it first came, it was like over 1,000 pages. It was long. It's trying to make that into a movie where people think that that's the whole book. It isn't. It was like the first third to a half of the book. And it totally changes direction right at the end of the first movie. So there you go.
So what's going on at the moment then? You're re-releasing the book. What's happening?
Well, what's happening out of re-releasing the book is that we've got, in 2016, we came out with an updated edition I don't know how familiar you are with arts and artists, but Frank Fazetta is a very famous artist, fantasy artist. And he did a cover illustration for Battle for the Earth, is what we used for the 2016 release of it. Now it's the 40th anniversary. And so we're now doing a relaunch of Battlefield Earth. You're seeing right now in the UK, and there we're working with Gazelle, which is a UK distributor. That's getting it into, you know, all the various outlets there. And so right now you can get the book Battlefield Earth or the audiobook, which we'll talk about in a minute, because that is way super cool.
Oh, okay. That does sound cool.
Yeah. It's in Amazon and in Waterstones, and it's definitely available online wherever you go. But like I said, there's also the audiobook, which won the top honors for an audiobook when it was published in 2016. And that's called the Audies Award. And that has 67 actors in it, over 150,000 sound effects.
Wow.
It's unabridged, so it's 47 hours long. And what's great about it is that you've got all these, because we're here in Hollywood at Galaxy Press, we're located just a block away from the Chinese Theater on Hollywood Boulevard, which is where offices are. Wow. So we have access to all these amazing actors in Hollywood. So we recorded with 67 different actors. And sometimes if you listen to audiobooks, it's a single voice doing multiple, a single person doing multiple voices. Well, this is multiple people doing all the different voices. So if you needed a young boy, we got Nancy Cartwright, who's the voice of Bart Simpson, who played the little boy in there.
That's so amazing.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. But we also have a lot of just amazing actors doing all. So if you need a Scottish person, we had Scottish actors. If, you know, whatever you needed, we had that. And the sound effects are such that they're very actual sounds. So if it's a certain type of a rifle that's being fired, it's that rifle.
It's actually that rifle.
It's actually that rifle.
That's crazy.
You know, and so horses, you have the horses. And a lot of times when you have sound effects in audiobooks, it's just, here is a rocket. Here is a car.
Yeah.
Here is a gunshot. We don't do that. And then what was done to make it even easier to distinguish the aliens from humans is that humans were all natural, like we're hearing right now. And then all the aliens went through a synthesized filter to make them sound alien, you know, so it's a little bit different. So, you know, when an alien is talking, even though they're speaking English, you know, it's an alien just because of the filter that was used. The audiobook on Audible has been one of the best-selling science fiction audiobooks that they've ever had. And it's, like I said, it's just won so many awards because it's got that high action. Mm. But with 67 actors, you don't get confused of like, who, you know, is this a guy or a girl or is this, what is this? Because sometimes it's, you have to suspend the disbelief when you have a guy talking like a girl or a girl talking like a guy.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, you know, that sometimes it's when it gets like that, it's just a little bit harder, at least for me. I like, and that's why it's like listening to a movie.
It's amazing. I think I need to listen to this. It sounds really,
I agree.
Really,
I
something I would
too.
Love.
I think you do too.
I need to share it with the world.
Yes, which we are doing now.
So who's in charge of all the website? Because you've got a really good website all about Ron Hubbard, haven't you? Is it, how do you pronounce it? Is it Lafayette? Is that how you pronounce it?
Yes, Lafayette.
It?
Yeah, exactly.
Yay!
Lafayette. Exactly.
That's a beautiful name.
Yes, it is. So we have, there's lots of different websites. So we have an in-house that creates like the Battlefield Earth website, Galaxy Press. We've got the Writers of the Future, which we mentioned about prior to the show here. So those are all created and maintained in-house. And then all the social pages, of which we've got Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I actually run those. And okay. So that's with the L. Ron Hubbard pages, the Galaxy Press, Battlefield Earth, Writers of the Future. And then we have a couple of YouTube pages as well. And I'm just venturing into TikTok. I've created a TikTok page. I haven't done anything yet. I'm now reading all the tutorials, and I'm finding somebody who's a millennial or a Gen Zer to actually do this stuff for me. It's like, I'm not going to sell anybody at that age group.
Well, TikTok's amazing, isn't it? It's so popular. It is. I'm on TikTok. I have no idea what I'm doing. You'll have to give me a follow.
I will.
We can support each other.
Exactly.
So
I'm excited about that. Yes.
Yeah, you are. Oh, yeah, that's definitely exciting. That's pretty cool. I love looking at all the photographs of his childhood and his travels, and I'm very jealous. He's had such an interesting life, hasn't he? And it's all there for everyone to see.
Yes, absolutely. And what's really great about his history as a writer, because if people aren't familiar with him, I mean, he obviously, Owen Hubbard is the person that in 1950 wrote Dianetics, mm-hmm. and then that later evolved into Scientology a few years later.
Which is huge. But,
yeah, very huge. But when he wrote Battlefield Earth in 1980, it was a celebration of 50 years as a writer. Mm. And so he just sat down and he said, he had a little bit of time. And so he wrote this book, which, like I said, became the longest science fiction book ever written. He wrote that in about 8 months. And
crazy. That's so quick.
Way crazy. When you've got, because we deal with a lot of writers with our Writers of the Future program, when they see that, and we have in our library at our office, we've got a fourth floor that's just dedicated as a writer to all of his books, of which he's published hundreds. Mm. We have a big stack of all the pages that went into Battlefield Earth, and he had to write it. What he did was he had two typewriters, and they were manual typewriters. And
what I remember he would those.
And what he would do was he'd type one for a couple weeks until it wore out. And then he sent it to the shop for being repaired. And then he switched to the other one. And he'd just alternate back and forth on the typewriters until he finished the book. Like I said, it took him 8 months to do that. And it's just amazing. And he had 700 pages of handwritten notes that he'd use to track along. Mm-hmm. And in the just re-released issue of Battlefield Earth, we have about 10 pages of his handwritten notes. So you can see what his handwriting was like. And stuff.
I love that.
It was really, really cool. Yes. Mm.
That is very cool.
Yes.
So what else is going on? Have you got anything else exciting going on? You must have loads going on.
We do. I said the thing with the Battlefield Earth, it kind of like is able to introduce a whole new generation of people who like science fiction to one of the masters of the golden age of science fiction. So you've got, Robert Heinlein and authors from that time period who were just, A.E. Van Vo, Isaac Asimov. And so, those people there, which are very celebrated as authors right now. So when they actually see this and they find out what these authors said about him as well, and current authors as well, they kind of like, it's a way to introduce people to just really great storytelling. And what's important about this too, especially for grandparents and parents who want their kids to read something that is very interesting and will drive you, to read and want to read and create a love of reading. It doesn't have the heavy sex. It doesn't have the profanity.
No, exactly. That puts a lot of people off, doesn't it?
Yeah. And some people like that, but a lot of people don't. And so it's hard to know that, is this going to be something that's going to be, you get halfway into it and all of a sudden it goes sour in that respect. And this book doesn't. And that's one thing that makes it just so awesome is that. And so you've got like top authors right now in today's industry, like Brandon Sanderson wrote about Battlefield Earth. Battlefield Earth is a pulse pounding mile a minute sci-fi action adventure that does not stop. It is a masterpiece of popular adventure science fiction. I mean, fundraiser that he did. He's over like $25 million he raised on announcing his four new books coming out, which is just, as you say, crazy.
Yeah.
But he's also, he's super, super popular. Neil Gaiman, a homeboy who's now wherever he lives now, I don't know if it's Australia or whatever, but about Battlefield Earth, he said over 1,000 pages of thrills, spills, vicious aliens and noble humans. I found Battlefield Earth unputdownable. Mm. So
amazing reviews.
Brilliant. Great reviews. Yeah. And so Some people said they got their start of loving science fiction from reading Battlefield Earth. When we go to conventions, you'll find parents bringing their children there and say, here, you need to read this book. I read this when I was a kid. Now yeah. It's prepared.
You That's know? Lovely, isn't it? You can pass it down to your child. Nice. Yes. Yeah, it's a safe book to read.
Exactly. So anyway, so we've got that, and we're just launching that in the UK. So that's why I'm so happy to be able to talk with you about this, because there's lots of other things to talk about, but I just wanted to stay focused if we could on the Battlefield Earth, because people don't know what they're missing until they hear people like you saying, look at guys, listen, and this is what you're missing, and mm-hmm. you need to do something about it.
We need to get the word out. We need to talk about it to everyone.
And hopefully down the road, we can have more chats about other things, because we have an amazing competition that we have routinely, we have winners from UK every year in the writers contest and illustrators contest, where we have 12 winners of each of writing and illustration, science fiction, and fantasy every year. And they get flown into Hollywood for a week long workshop with it's a real treat. We've got a couple.
I write stories as well. I have to do this. Tell me more.
When we're done with, after this, I'll tell you how to do that. But we've got one illustrator winner, a grand prize winner from last year, who's now able to fly out this year because the pandemic's been lifted. And then a writer winner too, who's flying out as well from UK. So
it's what a lovely thing to do.
It's really, really nice on that. But the thing with Battlefield Earth, I mean, in 2000, it was the Random House Modern Library Readers Poll. It was number 3 from voters all over the world as a favorite choice of read. And it's just, it's really good right now. I mean, we're starting to come out of the pandemic. And so book sales actually did well throughout the whole pandemic. It did, which was really, really nice for, speaking as a publisher, that happened. But it's also good too that, people use that as a means to stay busy and active. And the thing about this type of fiction, it used to be called escapist fiction, but it's something that you can read. And if you're willing to disbelieve some of the different plots in there, like that we're now 1,000 years in the future and we've been taken over and now we're going to take back the planet. Mm. If you suspend that disbelief and are able to move on with it, then you've got something you can really do, and just you can identify with different characters in the story, and it's just really good, that you can actually do that. And that's one of the things that his storytelling does. It's like I said, it's very high action. Kevin Anderson, who's the co-author of the Dune prequels, and he's one of the judges for this contest that I'm not telling you about, but that it's really cool. but he writes all the Dune books, and he helped as an executive producer of the Dune movie that just came out a couple months ago. He said Battlefield Earth is like a 12-hour Indiana Jones marathon, nonstop and fast-paced. Every chapter has a big bang-up adventure, and he loved that stuff. And so many authors I've heard that they got their inspiration and aspire to write like Mr. Hubbard. He used to write during the Pulp Fiction, he used to write 100,000 words a month. Mm. And he would, sometimes there'd be 3 stories under different pen names published in a magazine, because he wrote so much and he had a problem finding magazines to write for.
I was going
to
ask about his different pen names. He had about 15, didn't he?
15, he did indeed, yes. I went to an event, this is a convention, this has been some years now, for AARP, for old people.
It's like me.
And this gal came up and saw this one of the westerns, and she said he was Winchester Remington Colt, because one of his pen names for westerns was W.R. Colt, Winchester Remington Colt, which are all 3 names of firearms. And so it was fun seeing that. And he just he had great stories to tell about, but why he had to use the different pen names and stuff. And so it's been real fun doing those things, because I've got people that have written in from all over the world. Yeah, this is my favorite. This is my, his westerns or his mystery, his adventure, his air. Because he was one of the first licensed glider pilots in America. Mm-hmm. And then he was also one of the first powered flight of powered flight in when he was in college. He would barnstorm around America, and he would fly around. He'd land in cornfields, and in exchange for gas, he'd give people flights and stuff and fly around.
So cool. Yeah, what a guy. Cool, yeah.
Yes. And then he was also very, because he was very, for him, he was very adamant about the need of a strong Air Force, because he saw what was happening in Europe, you know, in World War II. So he was lobbying. He proposed one of the bills that eventually got approved to be the United States Air Force, and was, he had a senator that he would send a proposal for a bill to. But he was, his military fiction is very authentic. Because he was a naval lieutenant, that was also something that his sea adventure stories. So he was able to write air adventure, sea adventure, and all the different genres that he wrote in. You find people that used to be in the Navy or the Air Force, and they say, "I love reading his, you know, whatever genre that is, because it's so authentic." And it was, because he was able to see that realism.
Yeah, from his experience.
Yes. So those stories are also available in the Stories from the Golden Age, which is a whole line of 80 books that we published about 15 years ago. And that's also on Amazon and Waterstones and wherever you get your books there. You can get them all. Minimally, they're all online at the .coms for all those outlets.
Okay, brilliant. It's amazing that you can appeal to so many people of different ages, and just so clever. Just shows he's a genius at what he did.
Absolutely, he was.
Oh, well, it's been lovely talking to you. Have you got anything else you need to say?
I need to say, if you haven't read these books, you got to give it a check out and see. And that it's Battlefield Earth. You can just search it, and you'll find it wherever you want to on all the different outlets. But the audiobook too, if you like audiobooks, they're great for your exercise, for drive. We have so many truckers have written saying that how they've missed their exit when they're just getting involved and listening to the story. It was like, it was so...
going in the wrong directions.
They kept on driving, or people saying, "I was waiting in my driveway." My wife would text me saying, "What are you doing?" I said, "I got to finish this chapter and then I'll come in."
It's just like when you've got a good song and you don't want to get out of the car. I suppose it's more exciting than a song, isn't it?
Exactly like that. So my last message then is, you know, if you're not familiar with L. Ron Hubbard as an author, then I highly recommend Battlefield Earth. Is a great way to get started. It's appropriate for, like I said, for middle school on up, but we've got a lot of military that like it. We've got a lot of grandparents. Just if you like science fiction and fantasy, you're going to enjoy this really high action adventure science fiction story.
Brilliant. And also check out the website and look at all these photographs, because they're very inspirational. Absolutely. To look at as well.
Exactly, battlefieldearth.com or galaxypress.com.
Brilliant. Thank you, John Goodman. It's been so fun talking to you.
Thank you very much. It's been great meeting you, Lorna.
That was the lovely John Goodman speaking to us on UK Talk Radio.
All the time.
I listen all day, every day.
I don't know. I'm just addicted to it.
This is UK Talk Radio, with the music you love and the chat you enjoy.
All the time.
I listen all day, every day.
I don't know. I'm just addicted to it.